by virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist, striving for yoga, stands always above the ritualistic principles of these scriptures. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Advanced yogis are not very much attracted to the rituals of the scriptures, but they automatically become attracted to the yoga principles, which can elevate them to complete Krishna consciousness, the highest yoga perfection. I'm just going back a minute. We are reading tonight from the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is being herein explained. By Lord Krishna, his wonderful answer to Arjuna's question. Krishna explained the yogic principles, which are very difficult to perform. Because yoga, in essence, means to control the mind. And the perfection of controlling the mind is to keep one's mind always in the loving service of Krishna. To always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. So Krishna has explained, yato yato nishchalati, that the mind is very unsteady, very difficult to control. One must continuously and constantly drag it back whenever it wanders away. And it is the very nature of the mind to attach itself to the senses and the objects of the senses. Yoga means to keep the mind always absorbed in union with Krishna. So after hearing the necessity of keeping one's mind always peaceful and away from the objects of the senses, Arjuna tells Krishna that it appears impossible to me. It seems that it's more likely to be able to control the mind than to control the raging wind. And Krishna replies that yes, undoubtedly, it is the most difficult thing in the world. But by constant practice and detachment, it can be done. A real hero, a real great person, is that person who subdues the mind and the senses. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that the heroes of this world who conquer kingdoms, land, countries, even planets, when they come home to their palace, they're simply like a pet doll in the hands of their wives. It is described that even the greatest conquerors are utterly conquered by their minds and their senses. To conquer the universe is not a very great thing, but to conquer your own mind is the greatest accomplishment. This is called ritualistic fanning. Can, if you find a mosquito, you can keep him cool. But, you know. So Arjuna, he asks a question which actually all of us have a great concern about. He's asking that if I take to this spiritual life that you are telling me about, Krishna consciousness, then what happens if, due to the weakness of my heart, I give up the process sometimes later? What happens to such a person? Is he completely lost like a riven cloud? And Krishna explains, Neha vikramana sosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That whatever progress we make in spiritual life, it is never lost. It is eternal. Because devotional service is eternal, therefore any progress we make is eternal. But if, due to the misuse of our independence, we give up the path, whatever progress we have made is temporarily covered over by Maya. But in due course of time, when we learn our good lesson by the kicks of Maya, then all of that progress that we have made, all of those realizations are waiting for us. Specifically here in the sixth chapter, Arjuna is asking, if one leaves this body before completing the path, what happens to him? And Krishna is explaining that the unsuccessful yogi, because of his spiritual merits, if he's not very advanced, he will take birth in the heavenly planets. And there he will enjoy wonderful, wonderful pleasures beyond any imagination of this world. And after exhausting the merits of those pious activities, he comes back down to this earth planet and he takes birth in a very pious family where he's given a chance to continue whatever spiritual progress he has made. But if a person has excelled and made great advancement, in his next birth, he takes in a family of devotees. And there, immediately, he's put in an atmosphere, or she's put in an atmosphere, where that divine consciousness that has been cultivated could immediately grow and grow and ultimately reach its perfection. So in Krishna consciousness, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. When a person comes to devotional service and they fall away, which many people do and many people will, because Maya is very strong. Srila Prabhupada, at the beginning of the movement, when somebody left, the devotees were shocked. How could anyone leave Krishna consciousness? And Srila Prabhupada said, it is not such a great surprise that someone leaves because Maya is so strong. It's a great surprise that people stay. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, the whole flow of material existence is going against you. But there's no reason for anyone to ever leave if we just have loving association with devotees, if we're strict in performing our sadhana, and if we have a nice and humble service attitude. Maya can never take us away from Krishna consciousness. But if we become careless, negligent, or offensive, then Maya will take us away in due course of time, unless we quickly rectify ourselves. if we are careless in regularly chanting the holy names according to the vow that we take, if we are careless in following the four regulative principles, if we make so many exceptions to the rules that the rule has no more meaning. You see, this is Maya's trick. She wants us to make one exception. Just this once. Just make an exception. Don't be a fanatic. Say, yes, this is actually reasonable instruction Maya is giving me. I should follow it. Because actually, she is the energy of Krishna, so she's not all bad. But then once you make that one exception, nothing happens. You're thinking, look, I'm still a devotee. I made an exception. I'm still chanting my rounds. I'm still following all the principles except that one exception. And I'm being protected, no doubt. And she said, you see, it works. You made an exception, nothing happened. So make another one. Why not? Nothing happened last time. So you make another exception. And some weeks go by, and you look around and you realize, I'm still an advanced devotee. I'm still strict. Everyone's still offering obeisances and saying, Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha. So really, it's not so bad. And she'll say, you see, you can trust me. Make another exception. And soon you're making continuous exceptions. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're fallen. You're gone. You can't even chant your rounds anymore. You've lost your taste for serving the devotees. You don't even have a desire to be with devotees anymore. Maya has cheated you. For a very, very insincere person, Maya just knocks right on the front door and says, come, I want you. And you say, well, it's Kali Yuga. Nobody can really do it. So Maya, I surrender. But for somebody who's more sincere, she doesn't do like that. She secretly appears invisibly behind you to whisper in your ear, I'm your friend. Don't be a fanatic. Just, after all, you have to enjoy a little. The rest of society's doing it. And in this way, she gradually makes you deviate. And before you even realize you've done anything seriously wrong, you've lost your Krishna consciousness. It's covered up. And to regain it is very difficult. It is a fact. A person who chants 16 rounds every day, it's the easiest thing in the world for that person to just chant 16 rounds every day. But a person who gives it up for some time, or starts doing less and less because Maya says, you're too busy. You have so many responsibilities. Your exams are coming up. Or you have to feed your family. There's nice shows on television that really you can't miss because they may not ever play again. So many excuses. And you deviate, and once you deviate, it is so difficult to ever come back to the standard. Oftentimes, I have seen, it's impossible for the rest of a person's life to come back to the standard again. He just can't do it. Maya just won't let him. So the stricter you are, the easier Krishna consciousness is. The more lenient you are with yourself as far as the principles, the more very difficult and almost impossible it is to ever retrieve what you had. But even if a person goes through that syndrome and leaves the association of devotees, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, he went to the forest looking for wealth and kingdom, and he had the beautiful darshan of Lord Narayan. And when he saw the beauty of Narayan and he felt the bliss, the ecstasy of his love, Narayan said, "Now, you want kingdom? You want wealth? I'll give you anything." Dhruva Maharaj said, "I do not want anything. I have you. I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but I have found the rare diamond of your association, my Lord." But for a devotee who reverts back to material life is a person who has thrown away the most rare and precious diamond to pick up pieces of broken glass. But by Krishna's great kindness and mercy, he'll play with his glass, but he will cut himself to pieces and he will bleed profusely. And after due course of time, in the pain of all that bleeding, he will cry out, "Krishna, save me." And then he regains the diamond of Krishna's service. It is said by Sri Narada Muni in the Bhagavatam, "Tyaktva svadharamam charanam bhajam hare, bhajan apakvo tatate tato yadi, yatrakva va bhadram abhudya mushyakim, kovarata abdo bhajatam svadharamata." That if someone gives up all material prospects and takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no loss or degradation in any way. On the other hand, a non-devotee may fully engage in his occupational duties and yet gain nothing. Actually, more complete translation of this verse is, even if a person falls away from devotional principles, because he's tasted once the sweetness of the service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, he'll never forget that taste. That person can never be satisfied again with any of the pleasures of this world. And he must come back to Krishna consciousness. It is just a question of when. When means it is just a question of how long that person wants to suffer and be frustrated before he comes back. Because actually, Krishna's love, Krishna's kindness, is one who seriously takes to the path of bhakti, even if he does deviate due to weakness of heart or due to offenses to devotees. That person, Krishna will never allow him to be happy with material life. He'll try and he'll try and he'll try. But the more he tries, the more he'll be frustrated. There's nothing more sad than seeing a wonderful devotee trying to enjoy without Krishna. It's useless. It's a futile attempt. He may go on for many births. But Maya is so wonderfully strong that she keeps that devotee thinking, "Try again. There's still hope. Try once more. One more birth. Just give me one more birth. I promise you I'll make you happy." And after you waste that birth, she'll say, "Another birth. Another birth." Ultimately, we have to say, "No, Maya, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I will go back to the association of devotees, and I will joyfully chant the holy names of God." Krishna consciousness is natural. Why would anyone not be attracted to this movement? The real Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of love and devotion toward one another, toward Krishna. Devotees are always anxious to respect one another, always anxious to show their love for one another, always anxious to serve one another, always endeavoring to become humble. Where do you find such sweet relationships? Devotees come together every morning, if possible, or every evening, and they hear wonderful philosophy, the purest sound vibration of Krishna's pastimes, the wonderful activities of the great saints who have given everything to the Lord, the beautiful teachings of Krishna, the purest, most satisfying subject matter in all creation. Devotees just come together to relish it. And they're continuously trying to become more and more pure, more and more loving, more and more service-oriented. And then after hearing beautiful stories, narrations, they dance and they chant. And such beautiful, joyful dancing and chanting. Not like the dancing and the chanting of the materialist. You have seen them on the streets with their sticks. They look totally miserable. It's just so sensual, so egoistic, and so passionate. Devotees are chanting joyfully, ecstatically, because they're doing it in humble offering to Krishna. And therefore, they're really united. They're not trying to show off to one another. They're just trying to enthuse one another to come closer and closer to Krishna consciousness. And then after pure transcendental prasad, everyone sits together, shares one another's minds while eating prasad, Krishna's holy remnants. What more beautiful and wonderful life is there than this? And whatever devotees follow the simple process of chanting, dancing, and feasting, they become bright. One time, a newspaper reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "How do I know who your devotee is?" He answered in different ways. One time he said, "You will know who my devotee is because they have bright faces. Everyone else has dull faces." Because they're pure and they might be struggling. They might be struggling with their mind and struggling with their senses and struggling with their godbrothers or godsisters sometimes. But still, because they're chanting, dancing, and feasting, they're bright, they're effulgent. You can tell who a devotee is. On another occasion, they asked Srila Prabhupada, "How do we know who your devotee is?" He said, "You will know them because they are perfect gentlemen. On every level, materially and spiritually, they are first-class citizens. They are truly respectable and honorable people. Their principles of morality, their principles of sacrifice, these are the qualities of a true devotee of the Lord, or one who is truly striving in devotional service." To go back home, back to Godhead, we have to be completely cleansed of all material desires, and we have to completely fix our mind in Krishna with love. Through the practice of sadhana bhakti, devotional service under regulative principles, performing austerities, gradually our faith is strengthened and our heart becomes cleansed, anarthanivritti. When our heart is purified through regulative devotional service, gradually we develop a sweet taste for Krishna. In the beginning, it may be an austerity, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that even in the beginning stages, because of the nice association of Vaishnavas, Krishna consciousness is blissful then. Following regulative principles is an austerity. We may not be tasting the nectar of the holy name, yet we chant our prescribed rounds every day. We may not feel like rising early in the morning, but we do it because it is a principle. We may be attracted to things that are not conducive to Krishna consciousness, but we reject them and abstain from them because it is a rule. We may have so many other desires than to come to the satsang in the evening, but we come because we know it's good for our spiritual lives and it's good for our family's spiritual lives. So at the beginning, there's a certain amount of discipline and hardship that we accept to make spiritual advancement. To do it alone is very difficult. But these hardships become not only bearable, but pleasurable if we have association of nice devotees. It is a fact. And therefore it is so important that these principles that Rupa Goswami has explained of the loving exchanges of devotees is followed. To give prasad and to receive prasad. To give gifts and to receive gifts. Of course, the best gift is Krishna Katha and Hari Kirtan. And to give our hearts confidential feelings or thoughts to another and to hear another reveal his mind. These six loving exchanges of Vaishnavas create an atmosphere by which even the very difficult of austerities of remaining true to Krishna consciousness becomes easy and wonderful. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks he can be Krishna conscious without loving association of devotees is insane. It's not possible. Not in this age of Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, maybe. But in this age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the Sankirtan movement. The congregational chanting of the holy names amongst devotees. And if we are truly sincere and dedicated to this principle, then even if we have some shortcomings, if Krishna is really pleased with how we have served his devotees, he could intervene and send us right back home, back to Godhead. He can give us pure devotional service according to his causeless mercy. If we have truly humbly served throughout our life. Therefore, the greatest concern that a devotee must have is one, not to offend Vaishnavas. Because when we offend Vaishnavas, we lose that mercy of Krishna. We lose his favor. We lose his pleasure. Two, is to be negligent of following the principles of sadhana. By giving in to maya, by not chanting our rounds, by not coming to programs, by not following the principles strictly. These are the two most dangerous obstacles. And believe me, maya the material energy will do everything within her power to convince you to offend Vaishnavas or to be negligent in your devotional practices. Because she knows as long as you're not doing those two things, she has no power over you. You're protected by Krishna. You know the story of how when Ravana wanted to steal Sita from Sri Ramchandra, he was like the embodiment of Maya. He was really an agent of Maya. He tried to elude Ram in such a way. He was expert. He knew that Sita, she was so virtuous and so pure, but she loved animals. So he convinced Maricha, by threatening his life, that you take the form of a beautiful golden deer and you dance so lovely that Sita cannot resist you and she will want to have you as a pet. Maricha told Ravana that I already met Ram. I don't want to meet him again. I'm in constant fear of Ram. He's already, one arrow sent me 800 miles in the ocean. He will kill you and destroy your whole dynasty if you disturb him. But Ravana, being the agent of Maya, told him, don't worry, I will protect you. But Maricha had already basically become Ram consciousness. He was constantly thinking of Ram in fear. So he told Ravana, I'd rather die from Ram than die from you. If Ram kills me, I'll go back to Godhead. If you kill me, I'll go to hell. So he agreed, I will become Golden Deer. So he was like this, so nicely dancing. And Sita said, oh Ram, please bring that deer for me. And Ram said, yes, whatever you say. I don't have any personal experience, but I have heard from others that sometimes it's very dangerous to try to please your wife. This is confirmed in the Shastra also. So Ram said, yes, I will go. And he said, Lakshman, this is a dangerous forest. So many rakshasas, so many dangers. You must protect Sita and stay with her. So Ram went after Maricha, and Maricha was going... He was disappearing and appearing and disappearing, and Ram was going farther and farther and farther into the jungles. And then, ultimately, Ram could understand that this was a rakshasa. So he took his arrow and shot it. And just before he died, Maricha called out, Lakshman, help me, help me. And he sounded just like Ram. This is very significant. Sometimes when Maya wants you to deviate, she sounds just like Krishna. Just like I remember one time a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, I had a dream last night, a wonderful dream. You appeared in my dream and gave me an order that I should take the intoxication of LSD to help remind me of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, that was not me. That was Maya disguised as me. So you should know that Maya will disguise herself in so many ways. She can disguise herself as Krishna, as Guru, as anybody, to try to convince you. But how do you know? We have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We can never deviate from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And anything or anyone that deviates from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we cannot follow. We cannot listen. Because it's Maya working through them. Whoever it may be. So, here in India, I don't know what you hear, but so many people come to me and tell me their visions of what Krishna tells them. I hear it so many times. And I tell them, just ignore him, he will go away. And chant,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
You just chant Hare Krishna and all these other Krishnas will go away. So Maricha sound just like Ram. And Sita, by the Yogamaya potency, she thought he was Ram. So she said, Lakshman, go. You must help my husband. And Lakshman said, I know who Ram is. Nothing can hurt Ram. It was some Rakshasa disguising himself as a deer. He's killed him. I know what's happened. Sita said, no, you must go. He's in danger. She said, I know that you've been looking at me in a different type of way. You want Ram to be killed so that you can enjoy me. And when Lakshman heard this, because he was such a chaste, pure, and faithful servant of Ram, he could not tolerate it. It was too much. He said, all right, I will go. But I will protect you. And it is said that he took with his bow and he made a circle around Sita. And by his mystic power, he created a shield by which nobody could penetrate that circle. So Ravana, he disguised himself as a sadhu. This is the most dangerous way that demons mislead society, by presenting themselves as saintly people. Sri Ishopanishad explains that those who take the position of spiritual leaders but do not give proper knowledge, they go to hell and their followers go to hell with them. The blind leading the blind. If you want to be a demon, then at least say, I'm a demon, and do your demoniac things. But the greatest cheating is to misrepresent God in the name of God. So Ravana disguised himself as a very peaceful-looking sadhu. And he knew that Sita was very charitable towards sadhus. I am very hungry. Please, kindly, give me some food. And Sita Devi, she felt so much compassion for him. She said, yes, I will give you, but you have to reach into the circle, because I cannot leave this circle. He said, but I'm so hungry, I cannot walk. You must come out and give it to me, please. Otherwise, I will suffer so bad. So Sita came out of the circle. And as soon as she came out of that protective circle, Ravana revealed his real form and took her away. And you know the rest of the story. You know how difficult it was to get it back. Rama had to search. He had to make allies with Hanuman, Sugriva. Then the whole battle at Sri Lanka took place. just to get Sita back. So in the same way, by the grace of Guru, we have a protective circle around us to protect us from the Ravana of Maya. Just don't offend Vaishnavas. Just remain strict in following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. And sincerely, attentively chant the holy names. And remain very sincerely in a humble service attitude and serve the Vaishnavas and associate with devotees. If we do those things, Maya can't touch us. She can stand outside of the circles and she can tempt us and she can taunt us and she could threaten us and she could try to induce us and allure us. But as long as we just follow these principles, she cannot touch us. But if somehow or other she convinces us to step out of the circle by becoming negligent in our sadhana, by not taking advantage of the association of Vaishnavas, or by offending Vaishnavas, then she has you. She takes you away. And once she takes you away, it's so difficult to get back to where you were. So Krishna says, from the very beginning you must control your mind and not give in to these material attractions. But even if we do not complete the path of Krishna consciousness, but we sincerely endeavor, Krishna explains, there's nothing that you've really lost ultimately. It's all there waiting for you. In this way, Krishna is encouraging new people that you want to take to devotional service, but you're thinking, maybe I can't do it. Don't worry. Just try your best. Whatever you gain is eternally to your benefit, and if you don't succeed, you will take your next birth and have another chance to continue where you left off. So in this way, even if someone does leave the association of devotees, a devotee is simultaneously sad but hopeful. He's sad because this poor person is going to have to suffer. Maya is not going to make it easy. Krishna is going to really do anything necessary to bring that person to his knees so that he just helplessly cries out, Krishna, save me.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, 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 Hare.
And that person is so unfortunately wasting so much of his human life, given up the diamond for the glass. But at the same time, a devotee knows that whatever he's gained is eternal. So something great has been done. So in this way, there is hope. But Srila Prabhupada explained to us why should we not perfect our life when we have the golden opportunity? It's given to us by the Lord Himself through His devotees. We have the perfect opportunity to achieve the ultimate destination in this very life. Why should we compromise? Why should we risk the chance? Bhagavad Gita has been spoken by Lord Krishna. And it's so important to understand these teachings because Bhagavad Gita is like, it's like a road map. Where to go and how to proceed. Unless we understand the nature of the soul, the nature of the three modes of material nature, unless we understand how they are all interacting, and the nature of God, then it is easy to become bewildered. Really, the only necessity of understanding a philosophy, ultimately, is by being convinced of spiritual philosophy. We will not give up the association of devotees. We will not give up our sadhana. We will not give up the chanting of the holy names. We will continue on under every possible circumstance. And we will remain a humble servant. Bhagavad Gita convinces us thoroughly to remain on this path of bhakti. Just by understanding the Gita, we will not really make spiritual advancement unless we practice it, we put it in our life. And it's so simple. It's actually so simple. What makes it difficult is Maya's temptations. But if we learn how to love devotees and serve devotees, we learn how to enthusiastically partake in Sankirtan, then Krishna consciousness becomes joyful. It becomes so joyful that all the austerities seem insignificant compared to the joy derived by congregational chanting of the holy name. And actually, going through any situation of life, it's worth it to come together in the evening and dance together and chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
And if you have this faith, you will, in this life, go back home, back to Godhead.